Merhaba, everyone, and welcome back to the Turkish Breakfast Club. I'm your host, Miranda Lin. We took a bit of an extended summer, autumn, winter holiday, but we're back now with what we'll call season two of the podcast. If this is your first time tuning in, hoş geldiniz. If you're a returning listener, thank you for your continued support and patience. This season, we'll be mixing it up with different topics and guests, not just related to food, but beyond. But the main idea is still the same, to explore all the people, places, and things that make Turkey and its culture so fascinating to be a part of. One of the main reasons we're coming back now is to mark International Women's Day, which is on March 8th. This will be my fourth year spending this day in Istanbul, and during that time, I've seen everything from huge, raucous rallies filling the city's central Istiklal Street to other instances of women protesters being pepper-sprayed and batoned by police. That range of experiences mirrors daily life here, where there are moments of resistance, solidarity, and joy, but also other examples of bigotry, injustice, and brutality. All of the episodes this month will be dedicated to different aspects of women's experiences in this country, from our struggles and successes to our history and expressions of faith. And our very first guest to kick it all off is Ebrar, who's a volunteer at Mor Çatı, which translates to Purple Roof, one of the main organizations combating violence against women and gender inequality in Turkey. So without further ado, let's get to it. Hoş geldiniz. Welcome to the Turkish Breakfast Club.
Thank you, Miranda.
So this podcast will be released just before International Women's Day, which is on March 8th. And I think I've certainly become more aware of Women's Day and the activities surrounding the day since I moved to Turkey. And I was wondering if, to start off with, you could kind of tell me about your own feeling, your own experience with International Women's Day and what importance you see for this day, and especially in Turkey.
Yeah, sure. For personally, it is the night where I feel free the most in Turkey, because in Turkey, it is, especially in Istanbul, it is celebrated through a night march at İstiklal Avenue, where all women gather and celebrate their solidarity and their existence, basically. And I joined it a couple of years ago for the first time, and it was, as I said, the night I feel free the most and secure with surrounded all the women. And I believe, it is one of the days where we can demonstrate both our solidarity with each other and our struggles where we try to reach gender equality.
You're talking about some of these struggles that women face here. Can you give a general sense of some of the main obstacles, main challenges that women face here and the things that your group and this day are trying to fight against?
The core issue is that the lack of gender equality, and the main struggle we are facing and going through is to reach it, obviously. But I also work in Mor Çatı, a women's organization working against male violence against women. And we can definitely say that male violence against women is a political issue and it's a result of gender inequality. And we can also say that since there is no will to ensure this equality, the mechanisms which women can benefit from, children can benefit from, do not support women fully. Like, the understanding is that male violence, every other occasion of male violence, are isolated events. Since there is no holistic approach and no will, not a will to reach gender equality, we face male violence, then the support mechanisms also not supporting us. These are the related issues, maybe we can say in that way, because of gender inequality and the mindset towards it.
I mean, it's interesting you talk about this, the lack of a political will, but one of the main international conventions about violence against women, trying to prevent violence against women, is called the Istanbul Convention. It was the first signatory of it.
mm-hmm. done in this city. And so there seems mm-hmm. to be at some point, at least, a desire to address it on that political level, at the highest level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What mm-hmm. happened? What was the situation like then? Mm-hmm. Has it gotten worse? Why has it gotten mm-hmm. worse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are right. I mean, Turkey was the first country to sign it, also to ratify it. So it was an important convention, and it was also a convention that we were able to sign because of the struggles of feminists in Turkey. They paved the way for this convention to be prepared and signed and ratified. And it also, I mean, you know, Turkey withdrew from the convention like a couple months back. But especially last couple of years, there's an increased hatred towards LGBTI community. And Istanbul Convention is a comprehensive tool while combating domestic violence. Because of the increased climate against gender equality and hatred towards LGBTI community, I believe it resulted in withdrawing from the convention.
Right, about that. Turkey withdrew from the Istanbul Convention last year after a lot of protests, after a lot of debate back and forth, but they did withdraw from it. After that, did you see any immediate consequences of that, any effects of that withdrawal in mm-hmm. your work or in the situations that you saw women confronting when they came to you?
Yeah. When we talk about Istanbul Convention, we always say that it was an important tool for us to pressure respective governmental bodies, officials, when they or if they provide necessary services to women. Because, as I said, Istanbul Convention talks about very different, every other different aspects of this phenomena. Not every other part is implemented yet, but it was our tool to say that you need to provide this specific service to women. And we were able to reach that back then. But since it took Turkey withdrew from it, it is like we have lost that opportunity, like, because we were able to say that you have to do this based on Istanbul Convention, but for the time being we lack it.
Now, so do you, in your mind, has there been a worsening in the amount of domestic violence that we see in Turkey, or is it mm-hmm. a matter of
mm-hmm. okay.
the same but there's less response to it, a less strong response to it, and so it can, we see it more.
Mm-hmm. The funny thing is the question you ask brings more questions into hand. For example, when we try to understand the, let's say, the dynamics, the nature of male violence against women, we also need to look at we need some research, right? Like how women experience it, who inflicts it on women, and this kind of stuff. The first thing we also discuss when it comes to convention and the male violence against women, that there is a lack of data in Turkey. For example, Istanbul Convention also says that government bodies needs to take necessary steps to research about gender inequality, make it publicly available, and then implement the policies accordingly. In Turkey, the last nationwide survey, let's say, in the area of male violence against women was done in 2014. So there's already almost 10 years that we lack the data, comprehensive data, so we cannot make a proper, let's say, comparison. The other thing is that I'm not sure if we can comment on it by just looking at how it happens or how it is represented by the media, because maybe back then women did not report it both to law enforcement or to the women's organization. And this is also, you know, what Istanbul Convention asks government bodies to do, but Turkey did not follow it. So I'm not sure if we can say if the situation worsened. To be able to answer it correctly, we need more comprehensive approach. But when we talk with women, I mean, Morçatı has a solidarity center and a shelter where women can stay who are escaping violence. And our the knowledge we use in our policy proposals, we gain it through the experiences of women. And from women, we learn how support mechanisms fail to support women, do not take their concerns into serious consideration, discourage them from reporting, make them feel guilty of what they experienced. So yeah, it has various dimensions, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, Morçatı, as far as I understand, you guys are the only women's shelter, is it in Istanbul or even all of Turkey, that provides shelter for survivors of domestic abuse?
Morçatı has the only independent shelter, I would say, run by a women's organization. The government, Ministry of Family and Social Services, with its current name, has shelters in different in all cities, all 81 cities of Turkey. There are also municipality shelters that are run by municipalities, respective municipalities. But Turkey has one only independent women's organization-led shelter in Istanbul, yes.
What was the backstory? Like, how did Morçatı start?
Yeah, during 1980s, feminist movement was one of the vocal and powerful movements of the era, I would say. And then feminists gather around, like in different houses, let's say, consciousness-raising groups, and they suddenly start to talk about their experiences of violence. And when they share it with each other, they realize it's not one's own problem, but it's a common problem, not it's a political one. Then they start to discuss about it more, realize that it's a political one. And various activities occurred in that time. It was a topic of in feminists' writings in different occasions. And in 1987, there was a march against battering at Kadıköy Yoğurtçu Park, where all feminists gather around, and they were protesting against a judge's decision where it says something like, it's okay, it's the better woman. Feminists were protesting against it. Then there was a solidarity group among women where there were lawyers, doctors, supporting women who are experienced violence. There was a phone line. And over the years, it turned out to be a foundation. Then Morçatı was founded as an, let's say, outcome of this feminist movement back in 1980s. And it was founded in 1990.
So when you encounter these women who are looking for a way out of a domestic violent situation, what are the resources that you offer, and both that you think are needed more to help these women, support these women who are fleeing these sort of situations or facing these situations?
Maybe I can first say that we try to conduct feminist social work with women and show solidarity to women who are escaping violence or who are calling to learn more about their rights and to be able to assess it in a better way. And when I say feminist social work, it also means that we work with feminist principles. And in that regard, we say that each woman are unique with what they experience, what they need, and what they may demand. Also, we treat each other like as equals. and we share with women what are our rights, because we know that knowledge empowers one, knowledge is strength. So, and when we know our rights and the support mechanisms we can benefit from, it is easier to navigate. And then we let women decide for themselves, because it's their life, it's our life, and she is the one who will go through this.
What would you say is the general level of knowledge among women about what their rights are?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm thinking of, for myself, in North America, there's been a very strong feminist movement
mm-hmm.
for decades now. And so when I was growing up, there was already a strong sense of mm-hmm. equality and what, you know, we are at least legally entitled to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's been a few waves of mm-hmm. different kinds of feminist movements that, you know, we've now embraced the term more, that
mm-hmm.
you know, it's okay to be a feminist, it's cool to be a
mm-hmm.
How would you describe Turkey by mm-hmm. comparison, the idea mm-hmm. of feminism mm-hmm. and the idea of women's rights among the general public? Where do you think that is right now?
Yeah, it's a hard one, to be honest. But I believe, I mean, it's my personal observation, through the years with the with both digital advancements, so that it's easier to reach information. Now, younger generations are also more prone to equality, let's say, these terms. And maybe when they vocalize what they were going through, what they experienced in terms of violence, they are naming it. Maybe we can say that. But the other thing is that when women reach us, it's a really diverse group of women who are reaching us, but sometimes they are in doubt whether what they have been through is their fault or not. Sometimes they are very determined about what they want to do, like, I don't deserve this and I want to know what are my rights. But the thing is, every other woman who reaches us call us because there is a hunch is in themselves that what they are going through is not right. It is this urge that makes them feel there is something wrong. I don't deserve this. It cannot be right. So maybe, and they take it one step further.
Do you think that there's any difference in terms of, like, either religion, or whether they're coming from the city or more like in smaller communities? Is there any sort of divide that you're seeing in terms of how people mm-hmm. both view themselves, their situations, or like how they, you know, see mm-hmm. women's rights and gender equality
mm-hmm.
on a cultural level, I guess, or cultural political
mm-hmm.
level?
It also depends. I mean, when we talk with women, there are different forms of violence they talk about. Sometimes women themselves say that in our family, it is taught that women cannot talk about the violence they have been through. They need to take it, so they won't support me. I mean, it's a thing some women express themselves for their families. But I don't think we can generalize for a group or for a geography, because we talk with women from different backgrounds, like from different economic status, from different education levels, from different cities, and also their partners or the perpetrator also comes from different backgrounds. And there are perpetrators from every other background. And sometimes, you know, when the education level increases, the violence they inflict get sophisticated, because they know how it will be seen from the outside. I mean, of course, every other group has its own dynamics, but since it's an outcome of gender inequality, we see it in every other group or community.
I think something that's especially shocked me living in Turkey is the number of femicides. I think the first one that really caught my attention maybe is the story of Pınar Gültekin, who
mm-hmm.
I think it was 2 years ago in 2020. She's a woman who disappeared. Her face was sort of flashed around on social media as someone who's missing. And then a few days later, her body was discovered. And the circumstances of it were really horrific. Like, it was really brutal murder, not I mean, any murder of a woman obviously is terrible, but you know, the details of it that, you know, had her body burned and buried and all of that was a really shocking story for me. But then since then, there's also been other stories that have come out that have also been shocking and have also involved really gruesome details. And I wonder why Turkey seems to struggle so much with femicide and such brutal forms of femicide as well.
I mean, male violence against women takes different forms. Physical violence, psychological violence, sexual violence, economic violence, and every other form. And unfortunately, femicide is one of them. Like, that is one of the end results in some cases, unfortunately. Since gender inequality is an international problem, let's say every other, I mean, there is no one country that reach full equality. It will always be a problem in every other country. Maybe we can first say this. But on the other hand, here, as I said, there is when there is no will to ensure gender equality, when every other case of violence against women seen as an isolated event, and when the perpetrator is not put onto trial or not persecuted justly, it encourages the perpetrator, and it maybe they get more aggressive because they know that there is no consequence for their behavior.
I know we've talked about a lot of tough issues in sphere of Turkish women and the things that they have to face and their fight for rights, but I do want to try and find some like positive points, some happy things that we can talk about. So do you think that there are successes that you guys have had in your fight for more equal rights, things that you are makes you hopeful that we can be headed in a more positive direction?
Yeah, I mean, as I said at the beginning, Istanbul Convention was also a success of Turkish feminists. Like, they paved the way, and we were able to sign it and ratify it as the first country. Then, afterwards, there is a law which defines restraining orders and protection orders, this kind of stuff in case of domestic violence. It was also changed, and aspects got broadened after the signing of Istanbul Convention. And these were feminist gains. And we also feel like, since there is they feel so much scared about feminists that they needed to withdraw from the convention. We may also see it from that perspective. And it makes us united again. And even though Turkey withdrew from the convention, we are not withdrawing it. But this is what feminists say. We are still holding on to it. And we will continue to fight.
So your reason for optimism is that they're scared.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, just lastly, for people who want to support your work specifically for Morçata or for just the wider movement of you know, gender equality, protecting women from domestic violence, what are the best ways that we can participate, we can support and help you guys as much as possible?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, as I said, gender inequality is every other part of our, like, patriarchy is on the air, I would say. But what we can do basically is to make it a topic of our daily conversation, first of all, like, because change starts from there. But Morçata is a feminist organization, an independent organization, showing solidarity with women more than almost for 32 years. There are ways to support us. People can look at our website. It is detailed there, but we also have various reports, brochures. We can also share it with anyone who are interested.
And on March 8th, where will you be? How will you be celebrating?
Yeah, we will be at Taksim, waiting for all the women to march.
Super. Thank you so much again for your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Miranda, for your interest as well. It was our pleasure.
Thanks again to Ebrar and Morchette. We'll be posting links to their website and other groups on our Facebook and Instagram pages, which you can follow at The Turkish Breakfast Club. We've also started a newsletter on Substack. And you guessed it, it's theturkishbreakfastclub.substack.com. Subscribe to get more details on every guest and topic discussed in the episode. Until next time, happy International Women's Day. Hope to see you out there marching with us on Tuesday. And görüşürüz.